Let's all stand for a minute, okay? You need a little stretch. Okay, everybody reach up. There you go. All right, now reach out. Don't hit the person next to you. All right, if you can see your toes, bend down and touch them. Okay, there you go. All right, okay, you may be seated. Last week we talked about the challenge of poverty that is becoming more and more of a situation with our missionaries. This week I want to talk for just a few minutes about human trafficking, because that is becoming a premier problem in missions, is human trafficking. It is a problem around the world. Many of you heard back in April of 300 teenage girls that were abducted in Nigeria by Boko Haram. How many of you remember that? They are lost. No one knows where they are. They've probably been married off, which is a relative term, not marriage in any kind of understanding that we have. Basically, sex slaves to the men of other tribes in Africa, and sold for money, and being used in that capacity. Just 2 or 3 days ago in Bogota, Colombia, police there broke up a major sex trafficking ring in Colombia that use drugs to force young boys and girls into prostitution. They rescued 55 sex trafficking victims. One was as young as 11 years old. That's happening in America too. We think of that as happening over there, but it's not. Many of you remember the faces of trafficking. Many of you remember this man was a Christian radio host here in Grand Rapids. His name was John Baleo with WCSG. He trafficked with a 13-year-old boy in Battle Creek, in the Battle Creek area. It's happening right here in Michigan, and he negotiated a price. Really horrible stuff that was happening with this young boy, and that's happening right here in Michigan. If that's not enough, there's I was talking to a missionary just a little while ago, a missionary that we all know was up in my old parish of Onaway, which is just a little two-horse town in the middle of between Rogers City and Indian River, less than 1,000 people. But he was sitting in one of the two restaurants that they have there, and he was listening in on a conversation that a waitress was having with a man who looked like he was from the Middle East somewhere. And she was complaining about how she got to get out of this town and how she's so sick and tired of this. And her family was on her back. And he said, "Well, I've got a job for you." And she said, "Oh, really? Where?" And he said, "Back in a Middle Eastern country," he mentioned. He said, "I own a string of ice cream shops there that are going great. And I'm looking for young women like you that are pretty and outgoing and vivacious." And he said, "I'll bring you to the Middle Eastern country. I'll give you a job. You can make $20 an hour, starting pay there." And she sounded very interested in it. This is a human trafficking trick. Because what they will do is they will say, "I've got this job for you." And they will get them on a plane, get them there. And then they'll say, "By the way, now you owe me $3,000 for your plane ticket. You can pay that off by working for me. And now you owe me for housing and food and lodging." And they just build up debt after debt after debt. And of course, sometimes, not most of the times, all the times, they get a hold of their passport and their travel papers, and they steal them so that they can't leave the country, and they are trapped in human trafficking. And almost always, it leads to sexual exploitation of these young girls that are over there. This is happening all over the world today, and it's as old as the Bible is. You may remember the story back of Joseph, back in the Old Testament. His brothers hated him so much that they sold him into slavery. You remember the story in Genesis chapter 37, where his brothers were so angry with him, they wanted to kill him. But one of the brothers talked them out of killing him and talked them into selling them to slaves. And he became a slave in the land of Egypt. That is not sex trafficking, that is human trafficking. Human trafficking is simply modern-day slavery. Millions of men and women who were created in the image of God, 27 million people it's estimated, are in some kind of human slavery. 2 million children, it's estimated, are forced into prostitution. More are enslaved every day. It's a $32 billion industry. And that, by the way, is the root of human trafficking. It's greed. It's greed by people who will do anything to make a dollar. They will sell human beings and they will sell them for a profit. 62 countries in this world have never convicted a single human trafficker. And 104 countries have no laws or rules against human trafficking. And our missionaries are more and more becoming aware of this. Well, they're fully aware of this now, and are working to rescue these people. But human trafficking is wrong for very biblical reasons. First of all, human trafficking is evil because it preys on the weak and the vulnerable. It preys on people that are mentally challenged, especially young women that have mental issues, emotional issues, and can't really make good decisions for themselves. They prey on those kind of people. They go after the disaffected, the young girl that set off the whole string of conversation up north. Started the conversation by telling him how sick and tired she was of living in this little town that's going nowhere. They prey on that dissatisfaction. They offer them a better life and a better way of living and more money and all of that kind of stuff. They offer them over and over again, but they don't really, they're just simply preying on the weak and the vulnerable. God said back in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 24, He said, "Never take advantage of the poor and the destitute laborers, whether they are fellow Israelites or foreigners living in your town." God called that evil and wicked from the very beginning, and yet people continued to do it. In Isaiah chapter 10, it says, "What sorrow awaits the unjust judges and those who issue unfair laws. They deprive the poor of justice and deny the rights of the needy among my people. They prey on widows and take advantage of orphans." In many countries, people will fall into debt. They're very poor, and yet they'll fall into debt to buy property with the hopes of getting out of debt. They go deeper in debt, and finally, they come to the point where they can't feed their family. They can't earn enough money to provide for their families. And so a human trafficker will come along, and he'll say, "I will forgive your debt if you give me two of your children." And they will take advantage of their desperate situation. Now, you and I can't imagine having children that we sell into slavery, but just imagine for a moment. First of all, they don't know God, they don't know Jesus Christ, first of all, to have that moral grounding that's there. But number two, they're looking at six or seven children that they can't feed, and they're wondering, "Should I lose all six and seven for the sake of two?" How desperate their mind gets and how they're taken advantage of. And those human traffickers are literally people without souls. In Amos chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says this, "This is what the Lord says, 'The people of Israel have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They sell honorable people for silver and poor people for a pair of sandals. They trample helpless people in the dust and shove the oppressed out of the way. Both father and son sleep with the same woman, corrupting my holy name." Human trafficking is evil because one of the reasons God sent Israel into exile was because they engaged in human trafficking. They didn't see them as valued members of society. They didn't see them as people that needed help. They saw them as people to be taken advantage of. And in America, we do that. We have that segment of society that does the same thing. They will take advantage of the poor and the destitute in order to make money off them. Trafficking is evil because it diminishes the image of God that is in every one of us. You're going to hear in just a few moments in a video that we're going to play that women in Indian culture are not looked upon as equals in any sense of the word. And therefore, they're fair prey for selling in prostitution, selling as domestic slaves, all of that kind of thing, because in God's eyes, we're all equal. We're all children of God, but they don't see that way. And the minute you diminish someone's God-like qualities, their spark of God's image within them, they become less than you are, and you are able to take advantage of them. In Genesis 1:26, at the creation story, it says, God said, "Let us make mankind, human beings, in our image to be like ourselves." You and I are not little gods running around. That's not what I'm saying. But we have the image of God imprinted upon each and every one of us. And it doesn't matter whether it's somebody that's down and out and in the gutter of life, or whether they're rich and wealthy and famous, they have that image of God imprinted upon them. And in order for human trafficking to take place, we have to steal that image of God from them. We have to consider them as something less than ourselves, something less than what we are. And folks, that's where Nazism came from. That's where every evil that's ever been perpetrated in this world has come from, is looking upon somebody as less than us and less than what God created them to be. Is James talking about the tongue? The tongue, it says, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. We need to be very careful how we treat people, because they are created in the image of God just like we are. There is an equality that comes into our lives by that, and we need to be very careful. That's the evil of human trafficking. But the Bible also makes it very clear that God hears the cry of the oppressed. He has His ear attuned to those that are going through these difficult, terrible times, and He hears them. And proof of that is what He did to Israel. Israel was under the hand of Pharaoh. They were being human trafficked. They were slaves. They were slave laborers. They didn't have a life of their own. They were being mistreated and they were being abused terribly. And they cried out to God. And here's God's answer. God told Moses, He said, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Israel, and I have heard their cries of distress because of the harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. And so He says, I'm coming to rescue you. But how did God do that? He sent a man, didn't He? He sent Moses to march into the throne room of Pharaoh and say, set my people free. He used Moses to lead them through the Red Sea. He used Moses to lead them into the Promised Land. Did He have problems along the way? Man, did He have problems along the way. But God heard their cry and He delivered them, and He used a man to deliver them. That's one of the things that our missionaries are doing across the world today, is they are becoming the deliverers of people that are in this prostitution slave market that need to be set free. And sometimes they don't even know that they can be set free, and it takes a man or a woman of God to do that. One of the people that we're supporting that do that on a regular basis is the Romans. Marty Roman and his wife are rescuing women from potential human trafficking in Benin, Africa. David and Beth Grant have started Project Hope, which is a deliverance organization that we have. And I want to show a quick video. It's just 3 minutes long, but I want you to watch this about what's happening in India with Project Rescue.
Project Rescue is rooted in the history of this ancient land. For 1,000 years, there have been girls trafficked out of the tribes of Nepal to the harems of the kingdoms of India.
In India, women are not considered equal. They're considered, in many cases, children of a lesser god.
15 years ago, Project Rescue was born in Bombay, India. Now in Europe and in the Middle East and in Asia, Project Rescue is impacting this generation of young women who have been sold into sexual slavery and forced prostitution. Last year, 19,000 young women were touched by this ministry.
It's giving value to the girls who are not considered valuable, but God considers them valuable. They're His daughters.
The key to rescuing women and children from sexual slavery is relationships.
Because of this relationship that we've been building, they'll open the home for us to come and teach our girls Bible studies. The customer would come, the brothel owner would tell the customer, you wait, they're having a Bible study. You know, just like we are being part of their life, we are there to help them.
फिर एक लड़का ने क्या बोला, चलो तुम लोग को कुछ खिलाते, बोला ना वो भी कनारी घर वाली थी। मैं भी पहले उस जगह में थी कि मैं सोची नहीं थी कि मैं एक दिन प्रभु में आऊंगी, और जब तक मैं जिंदा रहूंगी प्रभु का सेवा करती रहूंगी, यही मेरा आशा है। प्रभु का धन्यवाद, थैंक यू सो मच।
When a woman or a child is rescued out of the Red Light District and comes into a Project Rescue Home of Hope, she begins to get the medical, the physical care she needs over a period of time. But she's also given an education, vocational training, and preparation to begin a new life in Jesus Christ. Prevention has been a key part of Project Rescue's strategy from the very beginning. There are trainings to help people in the local church realize what is happening whenever any little daughter of a woman in the Red Light District is given to us to have a new life in a home of hope. That's prevention. We just completed our first ever conference in the city of Delhi. Over 80 leaders, church leaders, came together for the first time to hear about this huge need. We are going to see thousands of women and children find freedom and new life in Jesus Christ. It's quite easy to physically rescue a woman or a child from the brothel. It's another thing to take them out of that and bring them into new life where they have a chance for a new future in Jesus Christ. Thank you for being a part of the solution, getting beyond talking to action. Thank you.
Project Rescue is in India and several other countries, and it does just what the film showed us here. What is the best way to prevent human trafficking? Well, it's to stop it before it starts, actually. In places where poverty exists, we feed the hungry, we house them, we give them the help that they need, because we don't want them to be in that desperate situation where human traffickers can come in and say, "We'll offer you a way out." It's to get education, so that people can get a decent job and have an education in their life before they are in that desperate situation. Those are all things that Assembly of God missionaries do around the world. They feed the hungry, they educate the illiterate, and they give them a hope for the future. But most of all, they introduce them to Jesus Christ. Because without Christ in the picture, all of this is really for naught. And so that's why we give to missions. Now, if you haven't made out a pledge form yet, there's one in everybody's bulletin today. We're going to take pledges next month to support our missionaries. But if you're not going to be here next week, we're going to take it next week to support our missionaries. But if you're not going to be here next week, we want your pledge today. So if you want to take that out, fill it out, drop it at the visitor booth or wherever, or give it to me or one of the other pastors, that's your way of participating. We have a lofty goal of $2,500 a month. And the only way that that's going to be made is by sacrificial giving on your part. We know we're asking you to sacrifice. We're not making any bones about it. We're not just saying, just give a little bit. We're saying, give as much as you can and let God make that up in your budget. Because it's our things like this that we are doing this work. We can't stand by and be idle while this thing happens. I want to close with one other thought this morning, and that is, I want you to understand that there is a different kind of slavery that people choose every day, and it's slavery to sin. You and I sit here this morning and we hear stories about the young girls that Lola works with, or we see the pictures of these ladies there, or we hear stories about people that have allowed themselves to be involved in human trafficking. And we wonder, how can they choose to do that? How can they get so desperate? Well, it happens right here in Holland every day. Maybe not the kind of human slavery that we're talking about, but we're talking about slavery to sin. If you look at Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, it says this: "Don't you realize that you become the slave to whoever you choose to obey?" Did you hear that? You become the slave of whoever you choose to obey. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were slaves to sin, That's the story of every single one of us that are here this morning. At one time in our lives, and maybe even currently, you're a slave to sin. You obey it constantly. You rationalize it in your own mind. You tell yourself it's okay. You tell yourself everybody's doing it. But the more you obey your sin slave master, the more enslaved you become. And pretty soon you discover you can't say no anymore. And you become a slave to sin. Some of you have been there and you've been set free by Jesus Christ. You know exactly what Paul is talking about because he says, now you are free from your slavery to sin and you become slaves to righteous living. Can I tell you a little secret that this scripture is telling us? You're all going to be slaves. I'm going to be a slave. You're going to be a slave to somebody or something. We get to choose who we become slaves to. We can be slaves to sin, which the Bible says came to steal, kill, and destroy. Or we can be slaves to Jesus Christ, slaves of righteousness. We can choose to obey Him and be set free from the bondage of sin and be free to worship God, to be part of His family, to be part of His kingdom for the rest of eternity. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like you're a slave to sin and you want to be set free. You're not here by accident. You're here by the prompting of the Holy Spirit to hear this message so that you can be free, so that you can be set free from those things that are holding you back and ruling your life that you don't want to rule anymore. I want everybody here to close their eyes and bow their heads. We're going to close in just a second. As we do, I wonder if there's anybody here that wants to be free from the slavery of sin. You just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I won't point you out or embarrass you in any way, but I want to pray for you right now. Anybody at all here that needs to be set free from sin? Hallelujah.